The family of God needs to understand not everyone will be saved. And why? Not everyone will be saved, and why? Tim, how do you come up with a title like that? Well, I was reading the passage, and having gone through already these first 29 chapters of the book of Isaiah and the chapters in Jeremiah, and Gary going through the book of Amos on Tuesday, we see a recurrent pattern with the people that are supposed to be the people of God. And that pattern that we continually see with the people that are supposed to be the people of God is that although God can save, although God can redeem, people have the tendency to feel that once I'm in, I'm good. People have the tendency to feel that it's not that important to hear God's word after we've gotten to a place where we're doing good. In this particular passage, it starts out with Isaiah speaking in the way that got him killed. According to history, Isaiah was cut in half by wicked, ungodly King Manasseh. If you will, go to Isaiah chapter 30. Let's look at the first verse and let's move and get some of this good word. And if your allergies start acting too badly, you point at me and I'll take over reading, okay?
Woe to the rebellious.
First of all, he says, woe to the rebellious. Do you understand when we're talking about the God of heaven, when he addresses, I'm saying he's addressing his children here too. When he addresses his children as rebellious, that automatically lets you know that God is not really pleased with what they're doing and how that they are doing it. For instance, when we think about God's eternal blessed word, God had said to the children of Israel, the time is going to come that I'm going to bring you into the land. And don't you ever forget what Amalek did to you. Don't you ever forget that when I brought you out of Egypt, Amalek went out and he tried to attack you and get you from the hand apart. And I want you to destroy him off the earth forever. Some people say that's harsh of God. Let me tell you something. I don't apologize for who God is. How dare somebody have the nerve to say that God is harsh? What standard are you judging God for by being harsh? You act like the earth is not the Lord's and the fullness thereof and the world and they that dwell therein. You act as if God, when you say something like that, is wrong for executing his judgment on a wicked and rebellious people. He said, wipe them off. So God commissions this man named Saul to do a job. Saul was supposed to utterly go and execute God's judgment as the sword of God on these wretched people. Saul decided to save some. We've read it when we went through the book of 1 Samuel. But listen to this one part that I want us to see in here. In that 23rd verse of the 15th chapter of 1 Samuel, Samuel told Saul, when Saul said, I didn't kill all the animals and things because I want to make all this sacrifice to the Lord. And Samuel asked him, listen to verse number 22. And Samuel said, hath the Lord, or Yahweh, great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice? Is God, does God have great delight in your worship and your praise and your real offering and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? That's the question that should be asked when we talk. The family should know all people are not going to be saved, and why? Because you're going to have some people that feel that worshiping and praising and making sacrifice make God happy. And they're going to neglect the fact that it says, has God great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken, that means to listen with the intent to obey, than the fat of rams. Now, if you're not familiar with Leviticus 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, you don't even understand what's going on because maybe you started at the middle of the Bible. But listen to 23. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Rebellion. Rebellion is as this. You know, a lot of people say, I would not ever go and practice witchcraft. But will you practice rebellion? And it says, stubbornness is as iniquity, that's lawlessness, and idolatry. You may say, I would never do idolatry, but it says stubbornness.
And so he said, because you rejected the word of the Lord has rejected you as being king, Saul. Why did you read that, Tim? Glad you asked me, Andrina. Because when God uses this term of the nation now, it's moved from just being Saul. What did God say that he would do to Saul when he rejected him, when he was in rebellion, when he was in stubbornness? He said, this is just like witchcraft. It's just like idolatry. I don't want no part of that. That he's saying, woe to the rebellious children, saith Yahweh. That do what, precious? Help Tim.
That take counsel, but not of me. And that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit.
Now, if you go and look back in the Hebrew text of this, that covering without a covering, you will not see that a word for word in there. You may see it make alliances in ESV, and in different ones, you'll see something to that effect. So what we have to realize here is that they've tried to at least give you what's in there, but let me show you what's going on. They take counsel, but not of me, and that, but not of my spirit. Now, can you feel what's going on here? These people are taking counsel. These people are making alliances. Remember, we know the background of what's going on here. And it's going to go ahead and let you see that they're trying to go to Egypt. So what's going on here? These people that have been rebellious, that are going to receive the hand of God's judgment, which is righteous. And how dare somebody say God's judgment is harsh, as if God did too much. You breathe his air. You walk on his planet. He keeps the electrical impulses of your brain working. He keeps your family intact. You use his sunlight to keep you going. And every function of your body is under his control. And when he executes judgment, you say he's harsh? These people take counsel. People that, according to Deuteronomy 4, supposed to have God's law. According to Exodus 19, supposed to have God's law. According to Exodus 20, I gave you commandments, and then three more chapters to explain them. But you take counsel, but not of me. That's why some people are not going to be saved. And this is why. Because children, often of God, don't want to take his counsel, and they don't want to hear his word. And they walk in rebellion. They want to cover, they want to make alliance, but not with my spirit, that they may do what?
Add sin to sin.
Now, some people say, well, ain't no sin no different than the other one. All sin is sin. Well, that shows your ignorance. You read the book of Leviticus, you see that there are some things you offer a bull for, some you offer a sheep for, some you can offer a turtle dove for. All sin is not sin according to Ezekiel chapter 8. There are some sins that are greater than that, greater abomination. 1 John chapter 3 tells us that there is a sin unto death. Make sure, I think it may be John, 1 John 5 and 17. If it's not, read the whole book. I know it's there. And then there's blasphemy against the Holy Spirit that will never be forgiven. There are sins that are without the body and sins that are with the body. But in this case, there's two ways that this can be true. One, you don't take counsel of God. You take counsel from another alliance. And first of all, remember, they're taking this counsel because they're trying to avoid God's judgment for their ungodliness. They have not taken care of the poor. They have not done for the widow. They have not done for the orphan. They have stolen. They have abused. They have taken things from each other, and they have served Baal and Asherah, and they have taken God's name in vain. They don't consider God. They've taken his privileges without the responsibility. And now when God's judgment comes, they want to go and get help from someone else. That's adding sin to sin. Instead of repenting and taking your chastisement, you're determining, I'm going to get out of this some way or the other. Somebody's going to bail me out. But Tim, you said there's two ways. Here's the second way. Not only are you doing that, but you're trying to cover it up. See, if you cover your sin, you don't prosper. When an individual is in sin and ungodliness, whether he's in adultery, fornication, lying, stealing, homosexuality, if he's a political person and he's a liar, whatever it is, it just like we see things going on with our government, just like now, like we saw with Watergate, like we saw in Benghazi, covering up stuff, when it comes before the Almighty, who sees you when you're sleeping, knows when you're awake, help me now, knows when you've been bad or good, and you know I say be good for goodness sake, the act of trying to cover your ungodliness before him is adding sin to sin, because he knows who you are. And how does he say they do it in verse number 2?
That walk to go down into Egypt and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength Pharaoh.
Do you see how insulting that is to the God of heaven? This is why some people won't be saved. And this is the reason that the family of God should know it. Because this happened one time to our ancestors. What do you mean our ancestors? I mean those that were in God before, whom God had saved, brought out of Egypt, raised up children, and they turned their back on him. And instead of them going to God and running to God in the midst of their chastisement, they want to walk and go down to Egypt to get help, the place that they came from, the house of bondage, the very place Andy God uses as this is my resume. Broke you up out of Egypt and said you didn't even ask, as if I didn't know you didn't ask at my mouth. And you went to strengthen yourself in the hand of Pharaoh. You went to strengthen yourself in the hand of Pharaoh against my chastisement. That's like me as a child when Billy was in his prime, in his strength. And I'm going to go get Gary and Barry to stop him from giving me corporal punishment. I'm 10 years older than them, okay? And I'm going to go get these little boys in diapers to stop my daddy from giving me what I needed. It's worse than that. Somebody say, Tim, why you get this picture? Because I want us to understand. They went back to Egypt and listened to God's command on that. In Exodus chapter 13, when God was bringing them out of Egypt, in the 17th verse, here's a statement that's being made. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them through the way of the land of the Philistines. Well, read it for me then, because I'm messing up.
And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines.
So glad I got you, girl.
Although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt.
Do you understand that you can repent from right doing and go back the wrong way? Deuteronomy chapter 17 and 6. This is Moses giving a reiteration of what has already happened. Here is Moses before he's getting ready to die. That's what the book of Deuteronomy is. Moses, before he dies, is going back and giving them a history of what God has done, and he's given the second law. Deuteronomy is 2, no Moses law. This is the second giving of the law. What does Moses, the man before he dies, what does he tell these people in Deuteronomy 17 and 16?
But he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt.
Moses is talking about here, whenever the day come, God will give you a king. He better not do these things. Read on.
To the end that he should multiply horses. For as much as the Lord hath said unto you, ye shall henceforth return no more that way.
Last one, Jeremiah 42 and 15. Are we getting the feel? I stuttered. I want to say it so hard. Oh, we're beginning to see God does not want his people to return to the house of bondage. He doesn't want you to turn back to your old lifestyle and your old ways. But in this particular case, the rebellious children are showing their rebellion. One, you've sinned, you're ungodly. Two, you haven't repented. Third, you're going to go to the place I told you not to go back to get things right. You have not submitted unto me. Read that 15th through the 19th verse, precious.
And now, therefore, hear the word of Yahweh, ye remnant of Judah. Thus saith Yahweh of hosts, the God of Israel. If ye wholly set your faces to enter into Egypt, and go to sojourn there, then it shall come to pass that the sword which ye feared shall overtake you there in the land of Egypt, and the famine whereof ye were afraid shall follow close after you there in Egypt, and there ye shall die.
Mm-hmm. Read.
So shall it be with ye all the men that set their faces to go into Egypt to sojourn there. They shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence.
These are God's tools that he uses to bring a nation down when they won't hear, when they don't listen, according to Leviticus 26, that I have probably said over 100 times. If you want to understand God's pattern with his family, read that chapter. It gives it to you in summary form how God is going to act throughout the rest of the scriptures. And here we get to see not everyone is going to be saved. But this is why. In this case, these rebellious people still won't take counsel of God. They are going to Egypt to get strength. Who can stay God's hand? And so this is about 100 years before Jeremiah writes. And they still got this problem. They can't get rid of it. They are stuck on stupid. When I was a boy, they said a commercial on TV say, I am stuck on Band-Aid brand, cause Band-Aid stuck on me. And it was a song that make you want to go to the store and ask for a Band-Aid when you want to buy a bandage. They are stuck on Egypt. And Jeremiah said, you're going to die. You're going to have the sword. You're going to have the famine. You're going to have the pestilence. And none of them shall remain or escape from the evil that I will bring on them. Give me 18 and 19, precious. But thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, as my anger and my fury has been poured out upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so shall my fury be poured out, be poured forth on you, and you shall, when you enter into Egypt, you shall be an excretion and an astonishment and a curse and a reproach, and you shall see this place no more. The Lord has said concerning you, O remnant of Judah, go ye not into Egypt. For certainly I have admonished you this day. Oh, I could read that whole chapter, but it'll take me away from where we're going. I just want you to see what we've covered thus far. Verses 1 and 2. Well, rebellious children, saith the Lord, you take counsel, but you don't take it in me. You're going to add covering. You're going to cover, but not with my spirit. You're going to cover in rebellion. You first, you're not going to repent. You're not going to change. And you think Egypt is going to deliver you from me. You think the Assyrian is your problem. The Assyrian nation. That's not your problem. I'm the one that sent the Assyrians. So you want to walk down to Egypt. You have not asked it in my mouth. You're going to strengthen yourself in the strength of Pharaoh. And trust in the shadow of Egypt. I told you not to go there. I told you not to do it, but your head is hard. Verse 3, please read.
Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame.
Now, can you imagine with the illustration that I have given you? Me as a boy, my daddy getting ready to execute corporal punishment on me, and I go get these boys that are 10 years younger than me to protect me. Not even big enough to hold one finger and stop it from moving. And they're going to run and get Egypt to keep God's mighty judgment from coming upon them, which they fully deserve. Read some more, precious.
And the trust in the shadow of Egypt, your confusion.
And the trust of the shadow. It keeps using that word, shadow of Egypt, your confusion. And go to Judges chapter 9, verse 7 for me. And the shadow, that's going to be your humiliation. That's how it's translated in the NASB, where it says your confusion, humiliation. We in our version, we have confusion. And what it is that this is going to be the very thing that makes you ashamed or disgrace you, as the NIV say. Now, what has happened in Judges 9, the reason that I brought this up, is God had brought a great victory about by Gideon. And he brought this victory about over the Midianites. And Gideon went and made the little ephod, and he shouldn't have made the ephod, but God had given him victory. And they decided we're going to take one of his sons and make him be in charge. His name Abimelech, my father's king. And he killed a lot of the sons. But one got away, Jotham. And Jotham is going to tell you about the shadow of the one that's unworthy for you to trust in. What does Jotham say, precious?
And when they told it to Jotham, he went and stood in the top of Mount Gerizim and lift up his voice and cried and said unto them, hearken unto me, ye men of Shechem, that God may hearken unto you. The trees went forth on a time to anoint a king over them. And they said unto the olive tree, reign over us. But the olive tree said unto them, should I leave my fatness, wherewith by me they honor God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees?
Should I stop giving the olive oil and they can eat my berries, they anoint man, and no, I'm not going to leave my job. Go ahead.
And the tree said to the fig tree, come thou and reign over us. But the fig tree said unto them, should I forsake my sweetness and my good fruit and go to be promoted over the trees?
Lord have mercy, if you've never eaten a purple fig when it comes off of the tree, when it's perfectly ripe, you may not understand how the sweetness really is. He said, but I'm not doing it. Read.
Then said the trees unto the vine, come thou and reign over us. And the vine said unto them, should I leave my wine, which cheereth God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees?
Shall I leave my wine, my vine? You pour wine, no libations to God. Men, when they come to worship God, they drink wine. When they have festivals, they drink wine. They cheer. They are joyful like God told them to do. Shall I leave that? No. But then what did he say?
Then said all the trees unto the brambles, come thou and reign over us. And the bramble said unto the trees, if in truth you anoint me king over you, then come and put your trust in my shadow.
Put your trust in my bramble weed, my bramble. Come and put your trust in my shadow. Go ahead.
And if not, let fire come out of the bramble and devour the cedars of Lebanon. Now, therefore, if ye have done truly and sincerely in that ye have made Abimelech king, and if ye have dealt well with Jerubbaal and his house, and have done unto him according to the deservings of his hands, for my father fought for you and adventured his life far and delivered you out of the hand of Midian, and ye are risen up against my father's house this day, and have slain his sons, 70 persons,
70,
upon one stone, and have made Abimelech, the son of his maidservant, king over the men of Shechem, because he is your brother. If ye have then have dealt truly and sincerely with Jerubbaal and with his house this day, then rejoice ye in Abimelech, and let him also rejoice in you. But if not, let fire come out from Abimelech and devour the men of Shechem and the house of Milo. And let fire come out from the men of Shechem and from the house of Milo and devour Abimelech. And Jotham ran away and fled and went to Beer and dwelt there for fear of Abimelech his brother.
Now notice, this picture is showing that when you go and trust in the wrong one, that will be to your confusion. You see, Abimelech got like fellows, like Jeroboam did. Egypt has not ever trusted in God, except for the time when Joseph was there. They have other gods that they worship. They have the sun god, they have the frog god, the fly god, the lice god, the river Nile is a god. They have all of these gods, and you want to go back there, and you think you're going to get away from me, and you're just like the trees in the forest. come and reign over us. You've rebelled and turned yourself against God, and you think that everybody like this can be saved? The family of God should know that in the midst of that chastisement, you better not go back to Egypt. You better not go back to your old ways and work yourself out of something, because if God's judgment is on you, you're just going to make it worse. And so in verse 3, he says, They're going to trust the strength of Pharaoh. It's going to be a shame. You trust in the shadow of Egypt to your confusion. Verse 4 of that chapter says, chapter 30 says what?
For his princes were at Zoan, and his ambassadors came to Hans.
Well, we see that when we talk about Tahapenes. And a little information on this, just talk about the indications could be that the Nubians had finally established their control over this delta region from Zoan to Tanis, and the northeast Tahpenes, south of Memphis, and the Judean emissaries had been received at the lower end of Egypt to another. This is talking about what's going on geographically, how they've, and the ambassadors have gone to different places. And verse 5 is going to show you what the totality of what that will do. What does it say?
They were all ashamed.
The ambassadors were all ashamed. Go ahead.
Of a people that could not profit them.
Mm-hmm.
Nor be a help, nor profit.
Isn't that what Jotham said about Abimelech? You're going to trust in him. If he's the truth, rejoice. If not, let that going and trusting in Abimelech be the very thing that burn you down. I submit to you that when you turn against God and your rebellion is just like running to another kind of Abimelech, and in this particular case, you've gone down. They can't profit nor help, and all that they're going to do is be ashamed and a reproach to you. Number 6.
The burden of the beast of the south, and to the land of trouble and anguish. From whence come the young and old lions? The viper and fiery flying serpent, they will carry their riches upon the shoulders of young asses, and their treasures upon the bunches of camels, to a people that shall not profit them.
You can go and carry all of that you want down there to pay them off. You can carry it on your, you can carry it through the, through having to fight through lions and the fiery serpents that you, just like what you saw in the wilderness, you can carry it on the shoulders of asses. You can carry whatever treasures you want to pay them off. But they're not going to be able to help you. Verse 7.
For the Egyptians shall help in vain and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this. Their strength is to sit still.
Do you realize the strength of a child of God in the midst of God's judgment is not to go and try to get some help from somebody. It's not to go and try to go against God. It's to be still. Take your chastisement. It's profitable. It's the very thing that will help you. But if you continue to rebel and you show your rebellion by going to any other source other than God, especially a source that he's told you not to go to. You know, for instance, somebody said, well, I don't have to go to Egypt. Do you want to resort to stealing? You're a female, you want to go to resort to selling your body, or a male selling your body? You maybe go get in this relationship with this person. You know you're not married to them. You know you shouldn't be there. You want to resort to robbing? Whatever your lifestyle was before, you want to go back to that? Don't tell me when you read the Bible it does not apply to your life. It does apply that when God's hand is on you to try to correct you and you say, I'm going to stay and find me a way out of that and I'm going to take counsel, but not of you. Come and help me, Egypt. Come and help me, friend. Come and help me, government. Government, I don't care what God say. I've been cheating on my husband and I'm pregnant. Help me get an abortion. I've been doing the wrong thing and they're making fun of me. Help me, government, so that they doing hate speech so they'll shut up and leave me alone. I've been doing wrong and I've been buying stuff and couldn't afford it. Help me, government, to file bankruptcy so I can keep the stuff that I've gotten from other people that I knew I couldn't afford and keep it. Help me. I don't want to take God's chastisement and have to give stuff back. Go ahead. You want to know why people are not saved? You want to know? Because you don't want to hear God. Read some more. We're not even close to through.
Now go, write it before them in a table, and note it in a book.
In other words, put it down so it can be seen that it was written aforetime. Read.
That it may be for the time to come, forever and ever.
And what's the assessment?
That this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of Yahweh.
This is why people are not going to be saved that have once known of God. This is the reason why. All people, when I say all, will not be saved, I don't mean everybody's going to hell. I'm just saying everybody that lives in this planet is not going to be saved. And we're talking in particular about some that have known about God and have worshipped, because they won't give up rebellion when they get into it. He said this is a rebellious people, lying children. We're not just talking about telling lies here. We're talking about their lifestyle is a lie. They are false children of God. They've gone from being true children of God to being false, like chapter 1 said. The ox knows his master and the ass knows his crib. My people don't consider. They are rebellious, lying children, children that will not hear Torah, the instruction of the law of the Lord. What else do they do? And verse 10 tells us the worst part.
Which say to the seers, see not.
Don't you tell me that negative stuff. I don't want to hear no negative. Stop. I don't want to hear negative. Negativity. I don't want to hear that negativity. I only want to hear the preacher preach the positive stuff so I can be progressive. But this person is seeing from God and you say, don't tell me that. And Isaiah is saying, this is what their lifestyle is saying. We say to the seers, you listen to me instead of God, see not. What else?
And to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things.
Don't you give me something that's judgmental. Don't you say anything that's against my government. Don't you say anything that's against my custom, against my culture, against my race. Don't you say anything that stands out and make me look different from anybody else. Don't say it. I want to hear a positive, uplifting message. I want to get something from it. I come to be lifted up. Let me tell you something about your damnable foolishness. God is not obligated to make you happy. God is not obligated to tell you what you want to hear. He's been doing God stuff a long time before we came to this planet. And he'll be doing it a long time after they put us in a box, if we happen to make it to one. And you're going to tell him not to prophesy. You're prophesying your own damnable heresy. And you're also prophesying your own doom. And you're showing what your rebelliousness adds up to. I don't want to hear God yet. They still want to worship. They still want to worship. Read some more.
And to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceit.
I just want to say, this is my Bible, and I have what it says I can have. And I want to tell you what it says I can have, and just prophesy that. Prophesy me prosperity. Prophesy for me that I'm going to get what the devourer has eaten up. Prophesy to me that I'm going to be in big time prosperity, and everything going to be healthy with me. Prophesy to me that no weapon formed against me will prosper. Prophesy that I won't have to suffer anything. Although Isaiah was killed, although Jeremiah may have been killed in Egypt, although Jesus was killed, prophesy to me that I won't have none of this to go through. Prophesy deceit to me. Tell me I can live with my boyfriend. Tell me I can live with something in sin. Tell me I can live in the kind of way I want to. Tell me that. Do you understand what is being said here, though? You see, I'm gonna unravel this. You won't hear the word of the Lord, but you tell the seer. See, this is the religious person, like Samuel. See not. So, wouldn't you tell me, don't see what you see? but let me still have you around. Mm-hmm. Prophesy. Don't prophesy right things, but I still want to have profit. So prophesy smooth things. Let man tell you from the bottom up what to say, and prophesy deceit. So we still want to have this religious facade. Mm-hmm. We still want to have a form of worship. But we don't want to hear what God has to say in that worshiping. Verse number 11, what do they say?
Get ye out of the way.
Get him out of the way. Lock him up. Kick him out of the church.
Turn aside out of the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us.
We don't want to hear that holiness stuff. We don't want to hear about that righteousness. Cause the Holy One of Israel to just sit down and take a day of rest before us. Get out of the way. Turn aside out of that path. Because that path is too straight. It's too narrow. Let us go to the wide path. And you sanction it. Because we're going to attribute to you the power to open the door and to close it. You want to know why people are going to be lost? Why everybody's not going to be saved? This is the reason why. Because we don't want to hear God's word and we still want to be religious. This is what the book of Isaiah is showing. And Jeremiah, we know, is going to repeat it. Ezekiel is going to repeat it. And the Lord Jesus Christ is going to repeat it. Please read some more.
Wherefore, thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because ye despise this word and trust in oppression and perverseness, and stay thereon.
That's even worse. It's bad enough when you get that bad. It's bad enough, but then that word stay there, listen to this word, the Hebrew word, it say on. That means you just lean yourself on it, okay? That's what you prop up on. Because you say this to the Holy One of Israel, and you reject His word. That's why people say, you know, I serve God in spirit. Oh, I got my own personal relationship with God. You got a personal relationship that's outside of His word? You have a personal relationship that's not corporate? You have a personal relationship that cannot be looked at and adjudicated by God's word? Where do you find it in the Bible? Go have a personal relationship with God, and that you don't have any interaction with anyone else according to the word. Show me that. And he says, you despise his word. I don't take all of that. Like I told the Jehovah's Witness woman one time, she came to me telling me all scriptures given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And I said, have you read all of the Bible?
No.
How long you been a Jehovah's Witness? About 7 years. So how did you determine what part of his words shouldn't be read? How did you determine what part is irrelevant? I didn't. I said, ma'am, you said you hadn't read it all. You just got through reading to me all of it is profitable. When did you determine, or how did you determine what's not important? How did you just look at it and say, well, God, this wasn't necessary for me to know? Well, we have people that say they're children of God that say, I don't need all of that. I know enough to be saved. I go to church. My pastor teach me. What a damnable idiot. You going to trust anybody, even me, with your eternal soul and not check up on what I say? Lord have mercy, how foolish can we get?
Therefore, this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall.
This lawlessness to you would be like a wall that's supposed to support different nations from coming in against you. That's got a wall that's split in the building, a breach that's ready to fall. In other words, it's so weak, it's getting ready to fall. They can just run in and destroy you. Please read.
Swelling out in a high wall.
Swelling out in a wall that should really give you protection. Read.
Whose breaking cometh suddenly at an instant.
Mm-hmm.
And he shall break it as the breaking of the potter's vessel that is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, so that there shall not be found in the bursting of it a sherd to take fire from the hearth, or to take water withal out of the pit.
Well, this breach is going to be broken from so high where you thought your protection was. You thought you had protection. Why you were despising my word? Why you were trusting in Egypt? You weren't taking my counsel. When it's broken down so bad, you wouldn't be able to take a scrap of it enough to go into a fire and take a little piece out of the fire. That's how bad it's going to be broken. It's going to be broken. They won't even have enough curvature in it to get water out of a pit. I'm going to totally decimate you. And this is God talking to the people that are supposed to be his children that have turned their back on him. Why? They won't repent. They will not repent. They will not humble themselves in arrogance. They think that Egypt can save them from his judgment. Remember, his judgment coming on him at this particular time is Assyria. They think that they can save themselves from God. Now, when I read in Jeremiah, the same thing is happening again, but this time it in Jeremiah is Nebuchadnezzar coming from Babylon. But they have the same foolishness in their children. Read some more, please.
For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved.
Mm-hmm.
In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength.
That's where we're going to stop. You can read that and you would not, but we're going to stop at the strength. Go ahead and read it.
And you would not.
We're going to build from and you would not the next time, but here is the promise. Thus saith Yahweh Elohim, the Holy One of Israel, in returning, in repentance, that's Shuba, and in rest you shall be saved. That's the only place your salvation is going to come from. In returning to me. Not going to Egypt. In returning to me. That's where your salvation is. That's where you'll be delivered. And in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. You remember when we were reading in Leviticus 26, when I've chastened you for all that I've done, and you admit that I was wrong, and that you go through it, then I will allow you to come back to the land, etc. The reason that all will not be saved, some are not going to ever listen. They're going to always try to find a way out of getting the judgment that every son of God receives. And they're not going to repent. For those that do, you still have a consequence. The salvation is available. But if we don't give people the true, accurate picture of God, they'll think that this God here, or they would read the Bible like, well, you know, that's the Old Testament. And I'm a New Testament person. And it's not like that in the New Testament. So you got to understand that what you all teach in Seeking Truth is just Old Testament. Well, you know, first of all, ignorance has an ability to speak things that ought not to come from their lips. So we go to Matthew chapter 18 and 15, just for those that might think that what we're doing is wrong. I just want us to kind of look at something because it's good for us to see that. Go to 21 to save time because I've already taught what I want to teach out of this. I just want to prove a point in Matthew chapter 18, 21. What does the Lord say here to Peter? You found it yet?
Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times. Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven.
So Jesus is talking to a son of God. He's saying that Peter's talking about, if my brother sin against me, how often shall I forgive him? If he repent. You know, if he repent and come back, and he says, how often? He says, 70 times 7. And Jesus is going to explain it to him, verse 23.
Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king.
Now, if this parable is coming from Jesus, he ought to know what he's talking about. And he said, the parable or the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king. So let's see what this king is like.
Which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which ought him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made.
So this man owed him pretty much his whole life. And he didn't have enough to pay. And so he said, let's just sell everybody, because that's what was done in that particular time. Now, I'm going to read the money, the talents in the Living Bible, just to give an idea of what it's like. In the process, one of his debtors was brought to him and owed him millions of dollars. Okay? That's the point. Go ahead, Precious.
The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all.
He humbled himself and asked for mercy. Go ahead.
Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion.
Remember, this is the kingdom of heaven is like this. The kingdom of God is like this, okay? Remember, the kingdom of God, because I want us to understand that this king is going to be God in this picture. Go ahead.
Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the
dead. Now, I want us to understand that this is what the kingdom of God is like. Then when we're in the book of Isaiah, God is their king. And they owe God allegiance. They are living on his land. Isaiah 5 said, I did the vineyard. Remember that? And I'm with you. They owe God all this, but look at what they've done. And they're in bad shape. Now, I'm going to execute judgment. And instead of them begging him to have mercy, and I'm going to give you your rightful duty, your rightful grapes. Remember when he went to get grapes? They got wild grapes. I'm going to give you all. Please forgive me, and I will do it for you. He was moved for compassion and forgave. I just want us to understand, when we tie this together, it's for real. Read some more, Precious.
But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which ought him 100 pence.
Now, the same one. He went out and found someone that owed him 100 pence. Now, we're talking about a few thousand dollars, okay?
And he laid hands on him.
Now, the other man didn't lay hands on him. Go ahead.
And took him by the throat.
And started choking.
Saying.
Now, you know, as a woman, you probably wouldn't like to be choked by another woman or by a man. But, you know, I don't know what you all feel like, if you feel vulnerable or you want to fight. But as a man, it's even insulting on top of that for another man to start choking you by the throat. This is what this man is doing. Please read.
Took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all.
And this man humbled himself to him. And said, I'm wrong, I owe you. If you have patience with me, I will start paying you all. And I can afford to do that. It's only a few thousand. Please read.
And he would not
have patience.
Go ahead. But went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt.
Mm-hmm.
So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done.
Now, what has happened is this man has been forgiven of all the debt that he owed. Understand, we owe God our life. Understand, we owe God true worship. Understand, we owe God proper allegiance. Understand, we owe God the respect instead of rebellion. And this man was forgiven. He was restored. He was put in the place where this individual was now in right standing with God. Do you understand what's happening? But this person, while they're in right standing with the kingdom of God's kingdom, and this servant, I mean this master, and this one, he went and I'm going to take my privilege, and I'm not going to learn from the one that did it for me. I'm trying to come up, as young people say. Please read.
Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant.
Wait a minute. Did it say the man that went and practiced adultery, fornication, homosexuality, that he had stolen, that he had robbed somebody, that he had killed somebody? No, but he called him wicked. Please read.
I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him.
And so likewise.
So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses.
We see in this particular passage that just like the children of Israel owed God, and God was willing to let them, if they would return in quietness, to restore them, we see that they would not. In this particular case, we see that the kingdom of heaven is letting you see that when you see this parable and people say, this is the Old Testament you're teaching, Tim, why are you teaching us in this passage that children of God can be turned away from God and God not forgive them? It's the same thing Jesus is teaching. Jesus is saying, if you don't forgive when somebody truly repent and they ask you for mercy and you don't, and you're going to deliver them to the tormentors, he's saying the same kind of thing that God knows when you won't listen to him and you're rebellious and you're going to do things your way and not seek his counsel, that you can be removed from his presence of joy. We need to understand. You're talking that stuff, talking about Jesus is all sweet and bubble gummy and cotton candy-ish. This is Jesus saying this to Peter. How do you think Peter felt when he heard this? Man, you talking about my brother can do stuff to me? That man? Yes. If he truly repents, forgive him. Forgive him. And go and learn what that meaneth. So how does that end our message for tonight? All people. And we're talking about even people that go to church, people that say they love God, will not be saved. Not unless they really know that they need to listen to God and repent when they're wrong and trust in him. Because a lot of us, we've gone into rebellion before. And if God had not granted us repentance and we had not humbled ourselves, we could still be going to church doing any and everything and it would be acceptable. We could tell the preachers, don't preach that. We're not going to give you any more tithes. Don't say that. We want to hear a positive message. We want to hear about prosperity. We want to hear about kingdom empowerment. We want to call those things that be not as though they are. We want our days of purpose. We want to get rid of our depression. But when it comes to our sin, our ungodliness, and being under God's will, we don't want to hear that. That's too harsh. And that's the reason why some won't be saved. Because they will refuse to come off of the throne and let God be on it. Mm. Now I'm going to pray that the Lord, if we got any root of bitterness like that in us, that God will forgive us and beat it out of us while we're still alive. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for letting us see that these people that you had saved, these people that you had given land to, these people that you had called so many times and chastened, Lord, they still wouldn't listen, and you were still trying to offer them an olive branch. Let us not be hard-hearted and stubborn and rebellious, but be people that will come to you when we're wrong and truly repent, change from our wicked ways, humble ourselves unto you in whatever chastisement you bring, that we take it. And Lord, when we are doing right, that we realize that, Lord, you don't play. Just because you save us and bring us, it's to be busy. It's to be productive for you. Not to just sit back and try to wait it out till we die. We got stuff to do for you. And if we don't want to work for you, we're rebellious. Please help us to do your will. Help us to give people the warning that you don't play with religion. You are interested in people being submitted to your word that will hear your law and follow it. Help us, I pray, to be the people you want us to be. In the blessed name of your holy child, Jesus, the magnificent Christ. Amen and amen. And even so, amen.